A large millstone was in a pit and turned by a donkey or two, and whole pots of grain were poured into it. Jesus sometimes was very clear and sometimes very uncomfortable for us in some of the things that he said. Do we really believe that somebody would have this huge thing come around their neck and thrown into the sea? Or is this an allegory? Or is it something else? But what it highlights from the very start of that reading to the end of it is, how do we limit our God? What constraints do we put on God? In many ways, our God is only as big as we allow God to be. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We put in the way of God stumbling blocks. As was mentioned by Mark, allowing our ideas, our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own prejudice, our own idols to take precedence over God's will and plan for his people. Thinking, even believing, that we know better than God. Harsh words, but my, aren't they true? In our own lives, when we look at our own lives and we see sometimes the way we react to the world around us, we find our own ideas, our own concepts, our own prejudices creeping in. And we close the door. And it's hard, for the demands of a Christian life are that all are welcome. Everybody is welcome. All are equal. All are the same, because for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And Jesus came to live and to die and to rise again that we might be forgiven. What right do we have to stand in the way of somebody receiving that gospel? Jesus said to the disciples, look, if this man is doing miracles in my name and they're working, it's they're working because they're in my name. The fact that he may not be part of this group is not important. What's important is that he's working in my name. Paul comes across Apollos, who was preaching the gospel of God not quite in the same way, but many of Apollos' disciples became Christians through Paul. But it was a different dimension. That verse in the hymn we sang, there are space for many ideas in God's creation. We must not allow ourselves to limit them, to put a blanket on what God is calling us to do. The biggest stumbling block for us, and for me in particular, is our faith. Do we really believe? Are we really committed? Or is it conditional? Why am I here today? Why are you here today? What will you do with what God says to you this morning when you go outside? Yes, we're all human beings. Yes, we're all individuals. Yes, we will have our own ways to deal with things. It'd be a bit catastrophic if we had a dozen preachers up here all trying to preach at the same time, wouldn't it? Because obviously people are called to do a particular job. But each one of us is called too. We are called to serve our God in ordinary, everyday ways. Margot, to provide a facility for people to meet and to talk and to have coffee and to share the experience of what it's like for somebody who cannot physically see and how they cope and hear about their life. The mission meeting on Saturday to to hear what we could do, how we could take our further, our faith further, where God wants it to go. Because at the end of the day, it's not what I want, it's not what you want, it's not what Trinity Church Council wants, it's not what the Methodist Church wants, it's not what the hierarchy of the Christian Church, whether it be in Rome or in Westminster, it is what God wants that counts. And the challenge is enormous. And Jesus said, you can say to those north downs, come on, get out into the valley. And if it were in God's will and purpose, it would happen in some way or another. Yes, I know, as we've been hearing on the news about Indonesia, there are some terrible things that happen over which you and I have no control. And we say to ourselves, where is our great God in this? Our great God is there where the suffering is. Our great God is there with people reaching out to help. Our great God is there in enabling people in their communities to survive. God didn't build the houses in the earthquake belt. But God didn't forget his people. And it's important that we remember that God wants us to get alongside, to reach out and to touch. How do I limit my God? Because I'm scared. Because I'm afraid of what might happen if I stand up and say something or do something. Because I don't feel I'm properly equipped for it. Because I don't understand what it is I'm supposed to do. I could go on, and you could too. But what we have to remember again, and we listen, and it's so important what Joyce was saying about listening. If we are listening to what God is saying, he will tell us where to go. He will tell us what to say. He will show us what to do. And the work will grow from there. Not just as far as Wesley was concerned and the growth of the Methodist Church, but as far as the early Christian Church was concerned, and meeting their problems head on. And some, like Jesus, were prepared to go the whole way and sacrifice their very lives because they believed what Jesus had to offer, what God's will was, what the power of the Spirit was empowering them to do, was to take the gospel into places where it wasn't easily acceptable. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, available to us freely. I remember when I was a young preacher, I used to use this example. It's a little bit dated, and very often it doesn't happen nowadays for all sorts of reasons. But the thing about the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is there, but like the electric light, you have to turn it on. And to turn it on, you allow the Holy Spirit into your life. And your life then becomes God's light, empowered, and possible to move mountains. To set up a new hub, a new center, to set up a new foundry, to move forward, knowing that we are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the strength of God. We are marching in the power of the Holy Spirit. God will reveal to each one of us through our listening what it is, what part we individually have to play. To extend his mission here. And remember, what we're doing is not for us. It's for God's people. And it's what God wants us to do.